Okay, so then how to work with the anger? Now, there's three different kinds of patience. One is the patience of not retaliating, which is in situations like I've just been describing when somebody harms us. The second is the patience of enduring undesirable experiences or being tolerant of undesirable experiences. And the third is the patience of practicing the Dharma. So I'll explain all three, but I'm going to go back to the first one, and we'll probably spend some time on it, the patience of not retaliating. So this is in situations where somebody harms us, and then how to practice patience in those situations. And then the next two types of patience we'll talk about later. So the Buddha taught many, many different kind of techniques for what to do when we face hostility from other people in problematic situations. And the thing that's so really wonderful about these techniques is that then when we're angry, instead of telling us, I shouldn't be angry, saying to ourselves, I shouldn't be angry, I shouldn't be angry, which doesn't do anything because, you know, telling ourselves what we should feel doesn't do anything at all except make us feel worse for not feeling that. But these methods actually give us a way to transform the feelings. We feel something different. So one technique, and this is one that's very good when we face criticism, okay? Because criticism, I think, is one of the things that we get most angry about. You know, the whole thing of we're very attached to praise and approval and other people's good opinion of us and things like that. And so when we get criticized, then anger very easily arises. So this first technique, I call it the nose and horns technique, because the idea is, okay, somebody criticizes us. Then we sit and we think, okay, is what they said true or not true? Okay, forget about the tone of voice they said it in and all this other stuff. Are they saying stuff that's true or not true? Did I make this mistake? Did I do this action? And if we look and we find out, yes, I did do that, and they saw what they're seeing is exactly what I did do, then it's similar to somebody coming and saying, you have a nose on your face. Okay, we don't get angry about it because it's there. It's the truth. Everybody saw it. Why get angry? So if we made a mistake and somebody saw it, why do we need to get so defensive? It's like somebody coming and saying, hi, you have a nose on your face. Yeah. I mean, you don't kind of go around like this afterwards. You know, we have to admit it. And so really, through this meditation, and we apply, you know, this way of looking at the situation to that thing that happened to us before, and then we change our attitude towards it. So that gives us practice in changing our attitude towards real situations that we actually experience. And then in the future, when we come up against similar situations, we have some training on how to do it. Okay. So that's one technique. Another technique, His Holiness likes this one. He chuckles so much when he teaches this one. He says, well, ask yourself, can I do something about it? Okay, some situation happens, we can't stand it, it's a disaster, everything's falling apart. To ask ourselves, can I do something about it? And if the answer is yes, why get angry? We can do something to change it. So what use is anger if we can do something to change the situation? On the other hand, if we check up and we can't do anything to change it, then what use is getting angry? It doesn't do anything. So this one sounds so simple. It's actually incredibly difficult. But it's really good to think about. I mean, it's quite helpful to really think about. You know, when you're sitting there in a traffic jam, going totally nuts, you know, just to sit down and come and say, can I do something about it? Can't I do something about it? If I can, then yes, turn off on this other street. You know, if I can't, then what use is getting angry? I might as well, you know, I'm going to sit in this traffic jam anyway, whether I'm angry or not, might as well sit back and relax. Okay. This technique is also very good if you're a worrier. Okay, if you have a lot of anxiety and worry, then to think, is this a situation I can do something about? If so, no, do something, then you don't need to worry. If you check up, I can't do anything about it, then, again, why worry? No need, what use is the worry? So it's very, very effective to just pose these questions to us, to ourselves, instead of just acting out our habitual worry or our habitual anger. So that's another technique. Then, another one is to look at how we got involved in the situation. This one has two parts. Looking at the causes and conditions this life that got us in the situation that we find so disturbing, and looking at the causes and conditions in previous lives that got us in this situation. Now, this one is one of the ones that the therapists just bristle at, because they say, you're blaming the victim! Yeah? You know, you're telling a victim to ask how they got themselves in this situation, telling them it's their fault, you know? And that's not at all what we're saying. Okay? We are not blaming the victim. But what we're doing is, when we are in a situation where we're receiving harm, instead of getting angry at it, to try and look at how we got ourselves in that situation, because that might help us learn how not to get ourselves in that same situation at all. It doesn't mean we deserve what is happening to us or that we're bad people, okay? It's like if a woman nags her husband and the husband beats her to the pulp, you know, it's not the woman's fault that the husband beat her, okay? I mean, he has to deal with his anger and his aggression, but she has to deal with her nagging, okay? And it is helpful to recognize, oh, yeah, when I act a certain way to somebody, I do, you know, I irritate them, and then they get angry at me and harm me back. And so it's just helpful to look at that. It doesn't mean that their anger is deserved and their harm is deserved and that as a victim you're getting blamed, but just to look at what we do. Because sometimes, I mean, if we really look closely at our behavior, okay, somebody harms us, we feel, who, me? What did I do? I'm just, you know, little old me minding my business, and here's this horrible person being so incredibly outrageously nasty to me. But often, I don't know about you, but I find if I really look closely at the situation and the evolution of the situation just in this lifetime, very often there was a lot of hostility on my part that got acted out in very subtle ways. Okay? So it wasn't, you know, I mean, sometimes somebody just kind of hits us from left field and we're like, huh? You know, I didn't know there was a problem there. But sometimes if we look, you know, it might be that we were, you know, very, you know, they would say subconsciously or unconsciously pushing somebody else's buttons. I would say sometimes it's quite conscious, but we're not aware of it. Okay. And we do things, you know, that we know it's just the thing that's going to bug somebody else. Or, you know, we're kind of acting in not very nice ways to somebody else, but looking on the outside like it's all okay. And then we say, why are you getting so upset? Why are you getting so angry at me? Or sometimes also, out of attachment, we get ourselves into situations that where we get harmed. Okay? I mean, classic example. I think a lot this thing of wife beating, you know, why does the woman stay with the man? Because there's a lot of attachment there, either to him or to the position, to the financial security, to her image, to many, many different things. And so the attachment is making the person stay in a situation that is quite harmful. Okay? So just to, you know, again, it's not blaming the victim, but it's looking that when we get harmed, what you know, what was our share of it? How did we find ourselves in this situation? How did I get into this kind of relationship with this person, the dynamics of which worked out like this? And so this is not an attempt to blame ourselves rather than blame the other person. Because I think the whole thing of blame has to be thrown out of the window altogether. It's not a question of, well, if I can't blame the other person because then I'm going to be angry at them, then I'm going to blame myself and be angry at myself. That's not it. That's not a healthy way to look at it. But just, you know, the other person did certain things that are their responsibility, but we have certain attitudes and our behavior that are our responsibility too. And so it is important to recognize that, because the situation is a dependent arising. And if you change one of the situations, the whole dynamic of the thing is going to change. Okay? So even if the other person has harmed us much more, still we can look at how we find ourselves in that situation and maybe change it so we aren't in that kind of thing in the future. Is this making sense? This is communicating? You people are really quiet tonight. Okay. First of all, I'm not describing this as a technique that we use with other people. I'm not saying that this is a technique you go and tell somebody who's getting beaten by their husband. This is a technique for us to use when we're in situations where we feel we're getting taken advantage of. Okay, and to really look in our own mind about what is it that got ourselves in that situation? Why am I still there? What attracted me to that? And why am I still there? Okay, so all of these are techniques to use on our own mind. I'm not trying to simplify the complexities of a wife battery situation, because I recognize that it's very, very complex. Okay, but even if you trace things, you know, back to childhood, you can see patterns of attachment. Yeah? And again, I don't think we can blame childhood. Childhood is childhood. The problem isn't the childhood. The problem is the patterns of thinking, the patterns of emotion that we have in reaction to events. Making some sense? Because I think there's a real thing now, you know, everybody feels like, well, I've got to blame my childhood for everything that happened to me, and I've got to remember everything that happened to me in my childhood and relive it and all of that. And I don't agree. You know, I mean, none of my teachers have said, you know, and the Buddha himself, Buddha didn't say to get rid of your anger, go and remember everything from your childhood. Yeah, Buddha got rid of his anger. Buddha became a fully enlightened being. Yeah. And so I'm not negating the fact that there were harms and things that happened in childhood. Okay, but there are also harms that happen when we're adults. I mean, this is samsara. There's harm all the time, no matter what we do, no matter where we are. But the real thing is to look at the patterns of our reactions so that we don't just perpetuate them. And that when we see that certain patterns, you know, got cultivated, instead of blaming the people who were in the situation, to look at our pattern and see that mental attitude as an unhealthy mental attitude. Because otherwise we go through our whole lives, you know. I'm in this habit of stuffing my anger because when I was little, my parents didn't let me get angry. So my whole problem with not being able to deal with my anger is my parents' fault. If we think like that, we're never going to be able to deal with our anger, because we're putting the responsibility outside of ourselves. We're making ourselves victims. We're giving ourselves no power in the situation, because we're saying that the problem is due to what somebody else did. And first of all, because it's somebody else and we can't control what they did, we can't change it. And second of all, because it's something that happened in the past, then we definitely can't change that. So that kind of attitude really, you know, it leads to a certain dead end. So I think it's really a thing of looking at our own patterns. Because this whole thing of blaming everybody else, just, I think it's making our whole society neurotic. Yeah? because everybody's going around, you know, it's this person's fault, that person's fault, the other, you know, it's the government's fault, this, and it's the bureaucrat's fault, that, my parents' fault, this, my husband's fault, that, you know? And then we're just, you know, so unhappy as a result of it. So to just look at our own patterns of behavior and see what's going on there. And it's true, maybe certain patterns did get cultivated in childhood, but they aren't our parents' fault. We had these patterns in previous lives. Yeah, and we didn't do anything about them then. So they came up very easily in this life too. Yeah. That's not to deny the conditioning we received. We did get conditioned a lot by our environment. But, you know, we can't say everything's due to the fault of the environment. So this whole thing of blaming, I think, that's what I really object to. I mean, why do we have to blame anybody when there's a problem? Why can't we see that there's just, it's a dependently arising situation? The environment had some factors. My past habits had some factors. There's all these different things that were going on. It's dependently arising. Some of these things I have some control over. Some of them I don't. Yeah. And instead of getting into judgment and blame, just look at, you know, what factors we have some control over, you know, where we have some responsibility, and then work to change that.
Avoid that.
Yeah. Right. It's not that we're sitting there thinking, I'm going to get myself into this dysfunctional relationship, you know. Yeah. But we do know how to push other people's buttons.
When we want.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not always the case.
Yes, that's not always
that's
the case.
Usually the case.
Right.
The particular example that you use.
Yeah. I'm not saying that, you know, the woman is nagging the man deliberately to push his buttons.
I mean,
okay.
That's just the best of each.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot more there. But then the question is.
I mean, sometimes it could happen that way, but I don't think that's the reason.
Yeah. But then the thing is, you know, if I'm nagging somebody, why am I doing that? Or if I'm hitting somebody, why am I doing that? What am I trying to get out of this situation? What am I clinging to here? Okay. So it's not that I think, you know, there's some, like we're directly planning to get ourselves in bad situations. But it's sometimes we're attached to something or we're looking for one outcome, but we're completely unskillful in bringing that about. You know? So we just wind up using behaviors that bring about the opposite. Yeah? But you look in family dynamics, you know, and look sometimes in our relationship with our parents, you know. I mean, we always say they know how to push our buttons, but we know how to push their buttons too. Yeah? And we might do all sorts of funny little things. You know, that look on the surface look completely okay, but at one part of us knows that this is our way of exerting our power in a situation, is by making somebody else angry. Yeah. So it's, you know, what am I getting out of it when I do that? What am I really trying to say when I do that behavior? Yeah. So like you said, bringing it back to us. Okay, so that thing of looking at how we got ourselves in the situation now, in this lifetime, then to look over a period of lifetimes and to look at the karmic cause for why we're in a situation. Why am I in this situation where I'm powerless? You know? Well, previous lifetimes, you know, it would be quite reasonable to say that I was probably rather condescending and took away other people's power and abused them, and now I find myself. And so really seeing, you know, again, instead of attacking the situation and the other person, recognizing karmically how is it that I'm in this situation because of negative actions I've done in the past. So again, this is not blaming the victim. It's not blaming ourselves, but it's just recognizing that when we act harmfully, we create the causes and conditions for ourselves to have certain experiences. And cause and effect is infallible. You know, if you plant apples, you get apple seeds, not peaches. And then, rather than blaming ourselves, just saying, okay, this was due to my own obnoxious behavior in the past. If I wish to avoid this kind of situation again in the future, then I have to really clean up my act now and make sure I don't perpetuate the same kind of behavior, creating more and more causes for myself to get this experience. Okay. Is this making some sense to people? I'll give you an example of how I use this one situation. It's quite painful for me. When I was in Dharamsala a while back, and I couldn't, one of my teachers, I was like this, I always seem to have some difficulty in seeing my teachers as much as I want to see them. And there is a situation in which I tried to make an appointment with my teacher, and somebody was, there was this kind of da-da-da-da-da, and I couldn't have the appointment. And then when I got one, he was sick, and I was sick, and we didn't have it. And then when I went to say goodbye, there was no time, and I was going back to the West. And, so I just felt like, why does this always happen to me? I can't see my teacher and talk to him, and this stupid person who got in my way, and, And then it just kind of hit me at one point. Ah, but I bet you in a previous life, I acted the same way this stupid person who was getting in my way was acting. And I bet you I interfered with other people's relationships with their teachers and did my little jealousy protection trip. And now I'm getting the karmic result of my own actions. And as soon as I thought like that, it's like the anger, the upset went away. It was like, okay, here it is, result of my own actions. What am I complaining about? Now the thing is, how am I going to be in the future? Am I going to just, create more and more negative karma by getting angry or doing these kinds of jealousy tricks? Or am I just going to clean up my act? So this thing in terms of looking at the karmic cause, again, it's not blaming the victim, but it's really looking at the kinds of behavior that we ourselves could have done in previous life that caused ourselves to find ourselves in these troubling situations. Now, the thing why people don't like to do this is because it means admitting that we may have acted pretty horribly to other people in the past. Yeah? And we like to think of ourselves as good guys. But, how do we purify negative karma if we don't have some kind of humility that's willing to recognize our own potential for obnoxiousness? Yeah? If we think, oh, I'm so wonderful, I can never act like that. That kind of pride, how can we ever make any spiritual progress thinking we're somehow one notch up from everybody else? So again, this doesn't mean that we think that we're a worm and we're low class, but it's just acknowledging our own potential for, to really be idiots sometimes. Okay, it doesn't mean we are solid, concrete idiots, but it's just acknowledging that potential. Yeah, the potential, that's all. Right, yeah. But I think that's quite helpful, because instead of, look at all these people, they're doing all these sinful, evil, horrible acts. Look at what Saddam Hussein is doing. Look at what Adolf Hitler is doing. But me? I would never hurt anybody else. Why is the world so awful to me? There's a lot of pride and denial in that, I think. And we have to just recognize, actually, you put me in that kind of situation, I could probably act just like Adolf Hitler. You put me in a proper situation, I could probably beat somebody up. That to me was the whole teaching from the L.A. riots. I could just look at all these, the ones after the trial last time. I could just look at all the different people in it and say, if I had grown up like them, I probably would have done just like them. Yeah, and really acknowledging that own potential within us. And then if there's that potential, is it any wonder that sometimes we find ourselves in situations where people aren't treating us nicely? Even we look at what we've done this lifetime to other people. Is it any wonder that we get criticized and blamed for stuff?
who of us has ever criticized anybody. So when we start looking this way, then, again, instead of just, you know, dumping it all on the outside, the world's unfair, this is an unjust place, how come everybody has something good but I get everything nasty, you know, just saying, you know, look at what the kinds of actions I could have done in the past are, that's why I'm getting this result, and now, in the future, I'm going to clean up my act. And I'm not going to let my mind go into the influence of advance, anger, and attachment. I'm not going to let my body speak to my feet, kind of negative claims. So that's what I call learning from our mistakes. And personally speaking, I find this whole thing extremely helpful for dealing with anger, this thing is thinking of karma. I find it extremely helpful. It's interesting. For Open Heart, Clear Mind, at one point that Snow Lion wrote to, I'm telling you this, wrote to Stephen Levine asking him to write an endorsement. And he refused because he said the chapter on karma sounded like blaming the victim. Which I found very interesting, you know, his understanding of karma. Because he didn't get it. Because he saw this very much as like telling the person who was abused, ah, it's your fault because you abused somebody before. But, I mean, am I going to say I'm beyond the capacity to abuse somebody? I mean, I think if we're honest, I'd say in samsara we've been everything, we've done everything. So, I mean, it's completely possible. It's completely possible. So then we get a result back. Again, it doesn't mean we're bad. It doesn't mean we're to blame. But it's just looking at recognizing how out of control our own mind can get when we don't take care. Yeah. And then really recognizing the need for purification, very strong purification. But that's why I'm saying I'm not teaching these techniques for as things to use with other people. I'm teaching these techniques as things for us to use with our own mind because we understand all of this. I mean, I'm certainly not going to go to somebody who was abused and say, well, you know, in your previous life you did this to somebody else.